As we have our Bibles open in 1 Samuel 21, we read in the Psalm 34 in the verse 8, O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. As you enter the book of 1 Samuel, you are confronted by a young, courageous shepherd boy receiving the call of God to be king. Young David, he felt that nothing could stand in his way. After slaying the huge giant Goliath, he then returned to the relative obscurity of ploughing the fields for his father. However, one day as he was out tending sheep, he was confronted by a lion. Yet again, young David, undeterred by this lion, we find that that lion, it met with the same end as the giant Goliath. And young David, David the shepherd boy, had now become David the slayer. David, from then on, he grew in his life, and as he got older in life, he was also a picture of increasing strength and increasing courage. We find David, he also became more prominent in Israel. And King Saul, who was the king at that time, Saul recognized this about David. He saw this young man, he's growing up, he's growing in strength, he's growing in his life, he's growing in his influence in Israel. And we find King Saul, he actually became jealous of David. In fact, so much you find that he actually tried to remove David from himself. Oftentimes, Saul, he took his javelin and he tried to spear David with his javelin. In chapter 18, having enough of this young man and his growing influence, King Saul, he banished David from his courts. But he also recognized that David had his uses. And because of his bravery, he actually made David the commander over 1,000 men. But again, as he saw David, his courage and his capability in leading men, Saul, he became more jealous of David. And we find that David, it became too much for him. He felt that he had to go on the run from Saul. In chapter 19 and 20, David, we find him going on the run. He firstly fled to Ramah, and then here in chapter 21, he flew to Nob, and then he flew to Gath in Philistia. He sought here in Gath to place himself under the protection of Abimelech, the king of Gath. Now in chapters 18 and following, as David was on the run from Saul, if you analyze these chapters carefully, you will discover that David was fearful. You will discover that there was many things, many fears that perplexed the mind of David. And David, I believe, he made a mistake. Whenever he was on the run from Saul, we find him constantly leaning upon people instead of leaning implicitly upon the Lord. We find in these chapters he leaned upon his friends, he leaned upon his position. But one by one, God came and God removed those props, those supports that David leaned upon. In these chapters, David, he lost his close friend, Jonathan. We also find that David, as he was on the run, he took Samuel with him for a while. Samuel, of course, was the prophet of Israel. Samuel was older, Samuel was wiser. And David, he obviously leaned upon Samuel for guidance. And yet we find that as we go through these chapters, all of these props, all of these support systems, these support mechanisms, they were one by one removed from David. And now having all of his friends and all of his family members, now he's on the run and having them all removed from him, we find that he ends up in Gath, the very place that Goliath was from. You think about it. Now David is in enemy territory. The young lad raised in Israel, he's now found in Philistia. He's found amongst the Philistines. He's found in a Philistine city. And here we find him coming to an end of himself. Verse 13 of chapter 21, we read, he changed his behavior before them and feigned himself mad in their hands and scrabbled on the doors of the gate and let his spittle fall down upon his beard. However, it was here in the midst of Gath that the Lord came to David and the Lord showed David that he was wrong. He showed him that he needed to trust implicitly upon him. He was saying, David, I've removed all of your crutches. David, I've removed all of your props. All of those individuals you've been leaning on, David, I've removed them so that you might trust me implicitly. And after he left Gath, and before he came to the cave of Adullam, we find in Psalm 34 that he wrote in the verse number 8, blessed is the man that trusteth in him. Something happened in between Gath and the cave of Adullam. And David, he was then brought to that point in his life where he trusted entirely and he trusted implicitly upon the Lord. And in life as well as in death, you're not to lean upon men, but upon the Master. You're to stake everything upon him. In salvation, there are no other props that you can lean upon to save you. Just as David was leaning upon people and he found them of no use, of no benefit, so tonight there are many things that you may lean upon, but they are of no use, no benefit really to your soul. People cannot save you. Preachers cannot save you. Prayers cannot save you. Performances cannot save you. And it's only as the Lord removes these things that you need to be brought to that point in life like David, where you learn to completely, where you learn to entirely, where you learn to implicitly trust on him. Oh, tonight, as David could say, blessed is the man that trusteth in him. Could you honestly say that? Could you honestly say to me, preacher, I'm trusting in the Lord? Not just trusting him to get you out of this fix and get you out of that difficulty, but are you trusting in him entirely? Are you saying, I'm staking my life, I'm staking my death, I'm staking my eternity upon Christ and his finished work? Or are you implicitly, wholly trusting in him? David needed to learn that lesson. He needed to be brought to that place in his life where he trusted in the Lord, where he wrote, blessed is the man that trusteth in him. Wonder tonight, are you there? I wonder tonight, perhaps, are you leaning on other things, leaning on other props, leaning on other people for your soul's salvation? And so this evening, I want to very simply think upon the thought of learning to lean upon the Lord. Learning to lean upon the Lord. I think we notice firstly here in David in these chapters, we notice his dependency. His dependency. Verse Samuel 21, we read in verse 10 that David arose and fled that day for fear of Saul and went to Achish, the king of Gath. Saul's hatred for David was growing throughout these chapters in 1 Samuel. In writing about one of his characters in his book, Mr. Polly, H.G. Wells said concerning Mr. Polly, he was not so much a human being, but a walking civil war. And you know, that description could be adequately taken and applied to Saul. Saul at this time, as David was on the run from him, he was not so much a human being as a walking civil war. We find Saul, he watched David grow in strength and he became jealous. He became miserable. He became suspicious. He became a very, very austere and angry man. And in order to deal with the javelin hurled by Saul and the many attacks hurled by Saul, I believe that David, he developed his own little support system to cope with the attacks of Saul. He developed certain things that he leaned upon to help him get through this time. For example, I believe he leaned upon his leadership. He had that position of prominence. He was given the command of 1,000 men by Saul. David was a skilled man. He was a leader of men. He was quite young still at this age, but he had the command of 1,000 men. Perhaps he leaned upon his position, his leadership position, just to get him through this difficult time. He also not only lost this then when he went on the run from Saul, but he lost another prop. He lost his companionship of his wife. 1 Samuel 18 tells us that Michal, who was the daughter of Saul, she loved David. She loved him, just as any wife would love their husband. However, in 1 Samuel chapter 19, we find that as Saul, he sent his armies to hunt down David, she actually had to let David out the window of her home. So here's David on the run, and he's lost his position as a leader, and he's now lost the companionship of his wife. In 1 Samuel chapter 19, after leaving his home, he then meets up with his old friend Samuel, the prophet Samuel. And Samuel's getting on in years and is extremely wise. And perhaps David, he leaned upon Samuel's advice and guidance to get him through. Then in 1 Samuel chapter 19, after he left Samuel, we find he came to his best friend, Jonathan. Of course, the word tells us that the soul of David and the soul of Jonathan, it was knit together. Oh, they were best friends. It was as if they were one. That their souls, they were joined together. However, as Jonathan, who was of course the son of Saul, as Jonathan found David and met with him and encouraged him, Saul, he got wind of this. And again, Saul came and Saul hounded down David. And we find that David, yes, he lost his position of leadership. Yes, he lost the companionship of his wife. But he also lost significant friendships. And he was leaning on all these things. And now we find that after leaving Jonathan, we then find in chapter 20, Saul, he discovered again where he was. And David actually ended up leaving the shores of Israel and flying to Philistia, actually going to the Philistines for help. And here we find David in these chapters. He's really a picture of running from pillar to post. He went to this person for help, then he went to that friend for help, and then that companion for help. And we find him running round in circles and eventually coming to a pagan king for help. And in seasons of spiritual distress, you can at times become desperate, but also dependent. You can lean on others instead of the Lord. Wonder, is David in these chapters a picture of you? You're perhaps in soul anguish. There's that distress. As Saul was hounding down David, so you feel Satan, he's hounding you down. You feel that life perhaps is coming to an end. You feel the accuser and he's chasing after you. And the Lord is crying out to you and he's saying, look, look to me and be saved. Look to me and be safe. Rest on me and I will deliver you. But instead of looking to him, you're looking on other things. Leaning on other people. Maybe you're even leaning on Christian friends. You're coming to them, you're under conviction of soul, you're in this period of soul anguish, the Lord's been dealing with you, and you're coming, yes, perhaps to Christian people, asking them advice, and yes, their advice may be well and good, but what's happening, you're leaning on people instead of leaning upon the Lord. Indeed, in Psalm 146, we read in verse 3, put not your trust in princes, nor in the Son of Man, in whom there is no help. This psalm is believed to be written by either Haggai or Zechariah. And it was written after the captivity, whenever they came back to Jerusalem and began to rebuild the temple. And they had learned, Haggai and Zechariah as prophets, they had learned that if they were going to see the kingdom of God extended, that they weren't to put their trust in princes, that they weren't to put their trust in men, because there was no help in them. And in the quest for salvation, whilst men may be helpful, they are ultimately helpless. Whilst they may help you to Christ, they are not Christ themselves. Oh yes, if you're in that period of soul anguish, searching, looking and yearning, You can come to men, and men are good, but they can only point you to Christ. And in that, thinking about them in that light, they are but a signpost, and they're no leaning post. And tonight you're not to treat men as a leaning post for salvation, but as a signpost. Come to them and say, how may I be forgiven? But not trust in them to forgive you. Oh, tonight, don't lean on men. Don't lean even on individuals or on props or on crutches. Because the Lord will remove them. Just as the Lord removed them all from David. Removed his wife, removed his position, removed the very best of friends. Oh, if you're leaning on these things, learn the lesson. That someday you'll not be able to lean on them. Someday it will just be you standing before the very God of heaven. And you'll have no one to lean on then. No one to look to. No one to lean upon. You know, there was a sign in a textile mill that read, when your thread becomes tangled, call the foreman. There was a young lady and she was new on the job. And that happened. Her thread became tangled. However, she didn't call the foreman. She said, well, I'll just sort it out myself. I'll just straighten this whole thing out myself. But as she tried, the situation got worse. Finally, she felt herself to be helpless, and she called the foreman. She said to the foreman, I did the best I could. And the foreman responded, no, you didn't, dear. To do the best, you should have called me at the beginning. And my friend, why not learn the lesson that the more you lean upon individuals or lean upon things, you'll only tangle yourself up. You'll only, as it were, take yourself further away from the Lord. David here, he was resting. He was depending upon relationships and companionships and position of leadership. He was leaning in these things and not the Lord. His dependency. But I want you to see secondly here in this chapter, 1 Samuel 21, his disintegration. His disintegration. Verses 12 and 13, we read that David laid up these words in his heart and was sore afraid of Achish, the king of Gath. And he changed his behavior before them and feigned himself mad in their hands and scrabbled on the doors of the gate and let his spittle fall down upon his beard. David, he was losing everything. He was losing his position. He had lost his companion. He had also lost his relations. The Lord had removed every crutch that David had been leaning upon. And now we find David's journey. He has reached the lowest of the low. In 1 Samuel chapter 20, after him and Jonathan were separated, we find that Jonathan went one way and David went the other. Now at this stage, David had lost all of his crutches and David had lost all of his props. And I believe David was brought to that point in his life where he had to make a choice. Where he had to learn, look, leaning on people and leaning on men, it's no good. I need to lean on the Lord. And if he didn't lean on the Lord, if he made the wrong choice, then there would be consequences. And we find that David, he made the wrong choice. He didn't lean implicitly upon the Lord. After he was separated from Jonathan, you find he became desperate. He was looking for someone to lean upon. And we read these fateful words in 1 Samuel 21 and verse 10. David arose and fled that day for fear of Saul, and listened to it, and went to Achish the king of Gath. Where does David end up? In the very place that Goliath the giant was from. The very place that David would have been well known. And you imagine it. Here's David, been running around in circles for quite a while. And now he's desperate. Now he walks straight through Gath. And he was well known in Gath. We find this, they said, is this not David who slay his thousands? He was well known for even slaying the giant Goliath. And we find as he walked through Gath, David's life before him, it began to disintegrate. Now he's not thinking clearly. This is not a man who's thinking things through. He's in desperate need of help and he's running from the Lord and he ends up in the lowest of the low. He He ends up coming to the king of Gath, Abimelech, and groveling to him. He pretended to be mad. It seems that David was well known, that people knew that this was the young lad who took up a stone and slain Goliath of Gath. He was well known, and he maybe felt he was in terrible danger, that they would come, that they would slay him, that they would remove him from Gath. And we find that David, a refusal to lean on the Lord in the crisis hour, it has now brought David to a complete end of himself. And in the crisis hour, when you're self-dependent, you will eventually become self-destructive. You will be brought to an end of yourself. Learn that lesson. Because I believe there are those in this congregation, and you've been brought to that place of decision, haven't you? The Lord's removed the crutches. The Lord's removed those things that you're leaning upon. Those religious deeds, those religious attachments. And the Lord's removed them. He showed you how futile they have been. And you've been brought to that point of decision. And you have not obeyed the Lord. And you, at times, you've reached the crisis hour. You've been faced with that point, that decision, I'll lean on myself or I'll look to the Savior. Well, learn the lesson that when you make the wrong choice, it's just like David. It's just like hitting the self-destruct button. Because you will find like David, that your life will begin to unravel before your very eyes. Indeed, in Mark chapter 5, there was a lady who learned this lesson. We read there in verses 25 and 26, that a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years, had suffered many things of many physicians. And listen to this. And had spent all she had, and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. What a picture of disintegration. Here's a lady, and she had an incurable disease. The book of Leviticus tells us this particular issue of blood, it couldn't be cured. And she had it for 12 years. What did she do? We read that she came to the physicians. She came to doctors. She spent all that she had. She perhaps sold property. She perhaps sold possessions. It seems she did everything possible to have this issue removed. And as she came to the doctors and not to the great physician of the soul, what happened to her? She was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. And when facing the sin problem, earthly physicians are not potent. They're powerless. They will not make you better. They will make you worse. And here, just like David and just like this woman, you've tried everything. You've tried this and you've tried that. And you've tried running after the other thing, and you've tried chasing that ambition, and you've tried this bucket list, and you've tried that. And you've tried to satisfy your conscience, and it hasn't worked. And you say to me, here I am. I'm far worse off now than I ever was before. My life, it's, as it were, disintegrating before my very eyes. That's what happens when you reach that point of decision and you don't lean upon the Lord, but you lean on other things. There was his dependency, his disintegration. But I want you to see, thirdly, here his disturbance. In chapter 22 of 1 Samuel, we read in the verse 3, that David went thence to Mizpah of Moab. And he said unto the king of Moab, let my father and my mother, I pray thee, come forth and be with you, till I know what God will do for me. After feigning himself to be mad and letting his spittle run down his beard in Gath, David, he had had enough. And David, perhaps for fear of his life, or we're not really too sure why, but David, he left Gath. And David, we don't really know what's going through his mind at this stage, but I suggest to you that David is not in a good place. David, he doesn't really know what to do with his life. But it's very interesting because he was in Philistia. He was in the land of the Philistines. But we find here in chapter 22, he's located in the cave of Adullam. Now, the cave of Adullam is is quite close to Bethlehem. And remember, where's David from? David was a young lad, and David was born in Bethlehem. Something had happened in Gath, and as he was in Philistia, and he perhaps decided that he was going to go home. I don't know why. We don't know why, but there was something working in his mind and in his heart that was drawing him back to Bethlehem. And we find that as he made this journey back to Bethlehem or to the cave of Adullam, something happened. He was disturbed. The Lord came and the Lord intervened in his life. We find that he then came in chapter 22 to the cave of Adullam. And David's problems there, they didn't go away. In fact, they got worse. David, as he was king, he had influence there. And whenever he was there in the cave of Adullam, he perhaps felt he was all alone. But he wasn't. We read here that there was a crowd of complainers and moaners who were gathered there with him. There were those who were distressed, those who were discontent, and there were those who were in debt. But something happens here. Because as he's in this fix, this difficulty in life, he comes then to the king of Moab, and he says in verse 3 of chapter 22, "Let my father and my mother, I pray thee, come forth and be with you, till I know what God will do for me." In other words, he says to this king, "Look after my parents. I'm in a fix here." But he said, "Look after my parents till I know what God's going to do." God had intervened. As he was on the road from Gath to Bethlehem, God had intervened in his life. And God had completely changed his perspective upon the matter. David's problems didn't go away, but God, he grabbed David, he brought him to his senses, and he taught him again to lean solely upon him. And in seasons of disintegration and seasons of destruction, you will experience disturbance. God will intervene when you least expect it. David learned what Jonah learned, and that's this. That you can run from God, but you can't hide from God. And here's David running away from all of his problems, trying to get away from the whole thing. And just as Saul was converted on the road to Damascus, David, he was, disturbed on the road from Gath to Bethlehem. And tonight, this is what you need. You need the Lord to stop you in your wild career and to show you the folly of your life. Show you the folly of leaning upon this one and leaning upon this thing, and draw you lovingly and draw you savingly to Christ. Again, you think of the prodigal son. He had learned, like David, that it was very, very wrong to try and lean upon other things to satisfy you in life. And there in amongst the pigs, and as he was in the far country, we read something happened to the prodigal son. Luke 15, verse 17, we read, "When he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger." Notice the phrase there, "he came to himself." It means literally, he came to his senses. It seems that he recognized the folly of his life, and he made straight home for his father. In seasons of degeneration, you will experience intervention. The Lord will come and intervene in your life. Wonder tonight, is the Lord doing that? Is the Lord disturbing you? As he entered into David's experience and the road from Gath to the cave of Adullam, wonder, is the Lord doing that with you? He's showing you the folly of these things, showing you the folly of trusting in other things and not implicitly leaning upon the Lord. You need that. You need the Lord to show you. You need the Lord to divinely intervene in your life so that he will bring you to the point that he brought David. Because we thought about his dependency, his disintegration, his disturbance. But lastly, I want you to see from the Psalm 34, his declaration. Because in Psalm 34, as he now enters the cave of Adullam, we read in verse 8, "O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him." David had all of his props taken away. He had lost his confidant. He had lost his companion. and he had lost his completer. He had lost everything. Even in chapter 21, you could say he lost his self-respect. In enemy territory and pretending to be mad. But then something happened. The Lord intervened. The Lord disturbed him. And as he was on the road from Gath to the cave, the Lord completely changed David's perspective. As you read through the psalm, David is now a picture of implicit trust in the Lord. You, for example, take a run through some of these verses. Look at verse 2. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Verse 3. Magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. Look at verse 4. I sought the Lord and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. Verse 6. This poor man cried and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. And David now declares, look, I'm not leaning on other things. My soul's making its boast in the Lord. I'm implicitly trusting in him. Happy is that man, for that's what the word blessed means. Happy is the man that trusteth in him. And disintegration should lead to declaration and also to dependence. A dependence and trust in the Lord. Wonder if you felt like David, that life is just unraveling before your very eyes. Well, the Lord's trying to teach you something. And you need to learn a lesson. To learn a lesson that you need to implicitly trust in him. Wonder tonight as you leave this place, is the words of Psalm 34 verse 8 your testimony? Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. And blessed is that man that maketh the Lord his trust. Or blessed is the man that trusteth in him. Oh, tonight come and lean fully upon the Lord. Trust in him. And stake your all upon Christ for eternity. You know, a doctor was under severe conviction of sin. One night he got a late call. It was a late call from a Christian, actually. And this doctor, he knew the Christian. And this doctor, he was under soul anguish, as I have been saying. The doctor, he came to the Christian and he said, I want you to tell me something, this faith in Christ. How does it work? How does it bring peace? The sick Christian replied, Doctor, tonight I was sick and I felt that I could do nothing else. So I lifted the phone and I phoned you. I placed my entire case into your hands. And he said, Doctor, that's what you need to do with your soul. You need to give it entirely into the hands of Christ. Oh, tonight, will you do that? Will you get to that point in life where you can say, like David, I'm leaning. I'm completely leaning on the Lord. You know, David wrote many psalms. And coming to the end of his life, David wrote the Psalm 118. And in verse 8, he said, it is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. I wonder tonight, will you learn that lesson? Will you be able to say that it is? It's better to implicitly trust in the Lord than to rely on anything else. Learning to lean on the Lord. May God bless his word to your heart and life this evening.